This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We got a new ACC Network basketball that we stole from Greensboro, which is nice.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, that's not going.
Somebody
that's,
give that to you? No, or did you just take it?
I just said I stole it. So if they're missing inventory up there in Bristol, oh, we got it. That's West Durham. Captain Ron, Robert, the boys are here. Fuller is now on my side. I'm doing the West Durham treatment. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, Otto was still in the Christmas decoration room. And he's got Mrs. P's refrigerator covered. He is good to go. Man, what a weekend, huh? Wow. What a crazy weekend.
Yeah, pretty good, right?
Awesome.
Fun to be in Durham. And NC State wins the women's basketball championship. We'll talk about that coming up.
Fun to be in Greensboro, too.
Fun to be in Greensboro on Friday. Got to see a little action on Thursday night. And then, what a scene Saturday. Great to be with all of our colleagues from ACC Network with Nothing But Net and all the other things that were going on site at Cameron Indoor Stadium. And the one thing we can safely say in this world, Mr. Packer, Duke Carolina delivers almost every time.
Harped on it before the game. You know, all the hype is cool and great and all that stuff, but eventually it's always about the game. The game is the cake, never the icing.
Mm-hmm.
Last week it felt like it was the icing.
Yep.
Didn't it? I mean, that was my point before the game started. I know Duke punked them in Chapel Hill, but there's something about this game that when you think you've got it figured out, it throws you the curveball. And being in North Carolina, absolutely, as Coach K said, they played better than us. And he's 100% right. Great win for North Carolina.
To me, this always is a subtle reminder that there's some things in sports that this is the reason this is what it is, right? And when you add something else to it, a senior day, a monumental moment, ACC tournament, if we ever get them in the NCAA tournament, if we ever get them in the Final Four, it'll still be about the game, right? It'll still be about the way these two schools make each other better. The way this series has developed. This guy is a major figure in the history of it. Just like Dean Smith, Mike Krzyzewski's right there. He's the guy, right? And at the end of the day, you can't predict this script. You just can't, right? You can try, but you can't.
Well, you know, not to do the old Monday morning quarterback, but we talked about this Saturday for tip.
Yep.
You know, the one thing nobody talked about last week, you pick a medium. Nobody talked about, hey, what happens if North Carolina wins the game? I mean, it was a foregone conclusion. Hey, it's all about Coach K. An incredible, unbelievable journey that he's taken all of us on as basketball fans.
Absolutely.
Right?
Right.
And it was the culmination of, hey, tonight is his night. Mm-hmm. It's Duke's night. And nobody, I'm emphasizing, nobody said, hey, well, you know what? What happens if North Carolina wins the game? What happens? That was not discussed. Wasn't talked about. But I can assure you, those folks in Chapel Hill in that locker room and that fan base was like, hey, you know what? Y'all keep dissing us. You know, we've played some pretty good basketball. We got a few banners hanging over here, too. And we keep harping on it, man. It's always about the game. And that game is so special and so unique. And if you're not a Duke or North Carolina fan, I know you're sick and tired of it. But, man, you got to respect what these two bring to the table.
Yeah. They make each other better. Not just in scenarios like Saturday. They make each other better as programs. They challenge each other. And, you know, it's pretty interesting the way this played out because sometimes the other can be the other school can be the foil for the daggone other team big time. And Carolina was. And credit to Hubert Davis. Credit to that crowd that came in there. And almost like the massive undercard. I mean, they showed up and it was just a, you know, one of those deals where you're like, holy cow. Oh, there's Carolina. They're here, you know, and you're thinking, well, Hubert Davis gets them off the bus. They walk down the street and hop into the side and there you go. Next thing you know, ball game's underway. Duke had what, 14-2 run?
14-0
run. Carolina didn't go away.
I don't know about you, Wes. When I drove back from Durham Saturday night after the game.
Yes, sir.
I didn't turn on anything. I didn't had turned the radio off. Yeah. Had the windows down. The Ford F-150.
Nice.
Right. And the wind's
trying
blowing.
To cool off from Cameron, huh?
I didn't think it was as bad as you. I mean, you guys. You know, I don't know what's going on over there. Play-by-play guy, you were kind of like, man, it's really hot in there. Yeah, it's Duke Carolina, man. We're just lucky. I was just feeling like, man, I was just glad to be in the building. I don't care if it's 100
degrees. Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment.
All right. But as I was driving back with the windows down, right, no radio on, cruising, I kept thinking, I can't remember a game. It was racking my head of all the games I've been to where I've seen as psyched up a crowd because they were roaring. Oh, 2 hours for a tip-off. I mean, absolutely. It was just an as wild as you thought it could be, it was, right? It was just one of those places where the only place on the planet Earth you'd want to be is at Cameron Indoor Stadium to see all of this unfold.
Right.
And so you had this unbelievable hype. The crowd was unbelievably fantastic. And then the end of that game, as I was walking out, and nobody left.
Right.
I mean, nobody left because the ceremony was going to be out. Walking out, it was almost like a funeral, right? It was almost like surreal, like this same cauldron of noise for 3 hours, 3.5 hours was so 15 on a 10 scale. And then to walk down the aisle leaving town, it was like, it was almost like who died. I mean, really, I mean, not to be, you know, brutal here, but I'm just telling you, it was, people didn't know what to do. It was just like, this is not the script.
Right.
Right. It wasn't the script. So when I was driving back, I kept thinking, have I ever been at a place that was as crazy as Cameron was? And then at the end was as flatlined as it was.
Solemn almost.
It was, like I said, it was almost like your best friend died. I mean, really, it felt that way. And what was supposed to be a moment of celebration, reflection of, and I, for Coach K, I was thinking, wow, what, how, I mean, 5 years from now, I would love to sit down with him and say, just walk me through that night because I can't imagine the emotions he went through.
And you, yeah, saw how
emotional he was during the national anthem, right, and the pregame festivities and walking through high-fiving all 96 of his former players. I mean, it was really an incredible moment. And then the game happens, right? It's the game. And you lose the game. You get outplayed. Everything that he stands for, they got beat in every category. I mean, that was just, and that's why I said, hey, I'm really disappointed because the standard by which he measures his program, they didn't reach. Correct. They weren't close. And so I kept thinking, have I ever been in a place where you went from the emotion of, you know, your ears are humming to you can hear a whisper at the end. And Wes, the only thing I could think of, and it's still not close, was a Clemson-Florida State football game the year the Noles won the national title in 2013. They were ranked in the top five. And I remember I was with Gene Chizik, and we were down on the field before the game. And I even ran into Herb Street. And he looked at me like, whoa. And I mean, it was this is hour for it was roaring. And then 51-13 or whatever it was later.
That was Boyd the pick, and then the laser to Benjamin. From Winston.
See ya.
Yeah.
And like I don't know if I've ever been in a building that went from a, like I said, a 15 on a 10 scale to a 1 on a 10 scale.
No, I think it's,
like that one Saturday night.
Yeah, and well, the thing was is it declined as the final 6 minutes.
Yeah, you could feel it.
From about the 6 minute mark of the second half down is when it just kind of slowly off into the sea.
And we sit down in the broadcast, you could feel the sense of
The uh-oh button hit about 6 minutes.
No doubt about it.
When Leaky Black went underneath on the reverse, that was when the uh-oh started.
You're like, hey, wait a minute now. We might
lose. That was 5:08 to go, I think, in the ball.
We might lose this game.
Yeah.
Yes, you might lose this game. It was a great effort by North Carolina.
Mike Krzyzewski, if you saw any of the exclusive interview Reese Davis had with Coach K, he talked about being in character. That when he saw the former players, he was going to try and revert right back to being in character like he is before the game, using a theatric term, obviously, to talk about his mindset. Well, it was readily evident when the notes of the national anthem hit, he became overcome. And I said last week, and I think I mentioned this to you, Pac, I thought we had a chance to see an emotional man go through the spectrum of emotions on that night, and that's what happened.
Sure did.
Yeah. And
I'd love to sit down with him, like I said, when he gets away from it.
Sure.
Is into life and enjoying, you know, drinking wine and getting a new dog and traveling the world and figuring out architecture for Cameron Indoor and all that. So I would love to talk to him about that night because, I mean, he went through it. And even afterwards, I mean, the emotion to get with that microphone coming off that performance and still kind of bring people up, that was tough. Yeah. That was a tough night.
Well, the one thing is that Hubert Davis in North Carolina make quite a statement, almost like the forgotten foil, right, in the ball game on Saturday in many respects. And after the game, the Tar Heel head coach and his star center talked about it.
Yes, and for all of us, I mean, we knew what was at stake with this game. We knew it would be a huge quad one win. I think they're like the number four team in the nation. And, I mean, just how they beat us at home. I mean, it's North Carolina, and losing a game like that at home is something that we all were embarrassed of. And it's something I thought about every day until this game. So I've been fired up. I mean, I've seen all the stuff on social media, people saying this and that about me. And I mean, I just knew I was going to come out here today and kick ass.
I don't know what I'm feeling right now. You know, I've said to a number of people, you know, the last 11 months being, you know, the head coach, it's been so busy. I haven't had really time to think. But just to think about what these kids did tonight, with all the noise, coming back from the way that we played at home against Duke and to compete, like all week, we just talked about our competitive fight, that we had to do three things. We had to plant our feet, we had to stand our ground, and that we had to fight. And if we did those three things, it would put us in a position to do something that a lot of people didn't think we would have a chance to do.
Right about that?
Yep.
On all parts.
Yep. Let's hear from Coach K. This is remarks when he was talking to the Cameron Indoor Stadium crowd in the post-game festivities that were staged after the ballgame, too.
I want to thank all of you. Yeah, all of you, and especially you guys. I tried to do with you what my coach did when I was 16. And for the most part, I think it worked. And I think that's why we have brotherhood. That's not going to go away. You know, it's not going to go away. We have a great succession plan. You know, John Shire and Marcel. We'll carry on the tradition of Duke basketball and the brotherhood. And you can count on that. But for you guys to show up today, for me and my family, means the world to me. We didn't play well. And there were times when you didn't either. Not for long. And hopefully today, for our program, this program right now, is a great learning experience. It's a great learning experience. First of all, to learn, look what you're a part of. Well, are you kidding me? You know, are you kidding me? We need to fight for Duke. We need to fight for the brotherhood. And we need to fight with all of our might through the remainder of this season. All right? Then I'll be ready to get the hell out of here. All right? All right?
There you go.
Had to be tough.
Oh.
Tough night.
But still, the outcome aside, it ends up being another compelling night and one of the most, I said, you know, top five, top ten moment in ACC history. Absolutely. That does not change. You bring all those people back for a moment like that. Now, there are a couple of historical questions we'll have to examine along the way. We're going to tack one here today, maybe about 8:30. Is this North Carolina's biggest regular season win ever?
I don't know if it is or not, but here's what I do know. That every North Carolina fan takes that one to their grave with a smile on their face.
Oh, yeah.
That I do know for a fact. That's one of those water cooler, hey, let me remind you routines, right? That's what that game was.
Yeah. Don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock, the official ACC Men's Basketball Awards will be announced right here on this program once again.
We are sworn to secrecy. Yes. We found out about it yesterday. I have said nothing to a single soul.
That's right.
Prepare yourself for 9 a.m. this morning.
Yeah. So, also, we'll have pictures of our efforts on Saturday. Packer has sent pictures and posted pictures, and people want to know exactly, you know, what kind of views he had and what he could and couldn't see. And look at this. Oh, there we go.
I had a pretty good weekend. I got to tell you.
That was Mark's view.
That's exactly what I saw during the broadcast.
Yeah. Pretty close. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I said if I could have spent an additional $50K, I could have seen the entire court.
Debbie Antonelli and I, you know, working.
Y'all had good views.
Yeah, we did better. We had a little bit better view.
You had a total view. You had no obstruction.
Well, it was okay. There we are. Packer in the tie. Don't ever forget that.
It's coming up in 21 more shows. maybe the exact same outfit.
Maybe the exact same outfit. We had a lot of fun with the Coach K curtain call, and Debbie was fantastic. She's great. And
Hall of Famer, you know.
Fun. Oh, absolutely.
Everybody on that picture is a Hall of Famer, but one. I'll let y'all get it.
All right. When we come back, Wes Moore's Wolfpack, three-peats. Wow. And Miami Cinderella comes crashing as the 7 seed. But the Wolfpack, again, is in the house in Greensboro, holding up hardware. All that and more next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
So happy we're back.
Yeah.
He is so happy we're back. Man, when the Ford F-150 comes rolling in here around midnight Sunday, the boys were barking.
Carrying on.
Master's home.
Yeah.
They were fired up.
How about that?
Good to go.
Congratulations this morning to Wes Moore
and
NC State. They three-peated up, and the Wolfpack comes away with a big win, 60-47 over the 7-seed Miami. Katie Meyer and her team deserve tremendous credit.
What a weekend for Miami, right?
Yep.
God, did they play great.
Yeah, sure do. And so the Wolfpack a win. The balloons fall from the ceiling of the Coliseum Complex in Greensboro.
We need to look into a balloon drop for show 600. What do you think?
Got drones, balloons. We got low ceilings.
We got all kinds of stuff. But listen, NC State. And Wes, we talked about this Friday, not to get on the high horse, but we were kind of on top of our games this week with predictions and all that stuff. We harped on this NC State, Louisville, NC State, Louisville. And then I was like, you know, I remember last year, women's softball, everybody, Florida State, Clemson, we're going to finally get it. And guess what? It had nothing to do with Florida State and Clemson in softball last year. It was Duke.
Right.
You know, we kept talking about NC State, Louisville. It's like, hey, you still got to go play. Right. And hey, NC State lived up to the billing again. And for Wes Moore's crew, they're obviously going to be a one seed, three-time ACC champ now. They're the fifth different ACC team to win at least three straight, do the three-peat thing. They've got confidence. I'm going to be kind of curious to see what Louisville does. How do they handle what happened to them? But, man, I've got to give a shout-out to Miami. Man, they beat Notre Dame. They beat Louisville in dramatic fashion.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you just kind of run out of gas. And NC State, more talented, obviously, but Miami had some kind of run.
Yep.
Really amazing run.
Sure did. And congratulations to Katie Meyer's team. Fabulous weekend,
no question.
In defeat. But now we're looking at the fifth different program in ACC women's basketball history to three-peat as champions.
Yep, just said that.
And I mean, it's just that alone moves this to another level, doesn't it?
Well, and I just think that NC State, target on their chest, right? We every time we had Wes on or an NC State basketball player this year, talked about the feeling that, hey, guess what? You get everybody's best shot. Louisville gets everybody's best shot.
Right.
And when you sit there and you do that and you still finish first in the regular season in a league that is loaded, right? Mm-hmm. We've had six, seven teams consistently ranked in the top 25. They go through that gamut. They're the number one seed going in the tournament. And then there's the pressure. Hey, you've won two in a row. Can you win three? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do if you see Louisville? Well, you didn't have to see Louisville. But you still took care of business. That, to me, is a testament of a championship DNA program. And Wes Moore and his ladies, man, congratulations. That is some kind of achievement. Now, the fun really begins. Yep. Can you now get to a Final Four and cut down the nets?
Yep. They also, for the third time in program history, won the regular season crown and the tournament title. Had done that since 1985. Again.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Man, so, I'm telling you, Wes has got it going on. This league is really good, I'm telling you. And when it comes to women's hoops and the tournament, again, I know Selection Sunday is 6 days away.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of curious to see what happens with Louisville. And keep in mind, South Carolina, the number one team in the country, lost yesterday in the SEC Finals. They blew a big lead, too, down the stretch.
Yeah.
Kind of curious to see what the one seeds are going to look like when we get to the NCAA tournament.
And congratulations to Elisa Kunane, who was the MVP of the women's event
well.
Official ACC awards are going to be announced at 9 o'clock here on this fine program. Who do you think should be the ACC's Player of the Year and Coach of the Year? We're going to announce that among the Defensive Player of the Year and several others. I mean, it has become a thing in the ACC footprint, and the discussion has centralized to Armando Bacot of Carolina and Alondis Williams of Wake Forest. The Coach of the Year discussion expands to two, potentially three, maybe even four candidates, depending on your logic. It's really, really been interesting. I know we got a phone call standing by. Let me show you one piece of social reaction. Travis Davis has already chimed in. He chimes in and says it ought to be Bacot, Hubert Davis, and Leaky Black. Now, I think Travis may have an investment in the Carolina Blue there.
He's got the pom-poms out.
Yeah, but that's okay.
To do that.
Yeah. Bacot's had a terrific year. Hubert Davis done a phenomenal job in the first year. And Leaky Black is, in fact, one of the best on-ball defenders, not just in the ACC, but in college basketball. But there's great competition for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't want to lose sight of that. Matt in Maryland has called us this morning at 844-SAY-ACCM. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Okay, appreciate the call.
I just want to say, first of all, you guys did an excellent job on Saturday night calling the game. I enjoyed listening to you guys, and I got to say, it's always a great day to be a Tar Heel. And for that, I have to say, I think Armando, hands down, should be Player of the Year. Williams at Wake Forest, he has done a great job. Banchero, as much of a Tar Heel fan as I am, I have to say he's done a great job, obviously, as well. But I think just Saturday night kind of solidified it for Armando, and wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
Back.
Well, number one, I don't vote. Number two, I don't know when the votes were in. Number three,
votes had to be submitted by yesterday at noon.
Okay, so folks had a chance to see the game. It is not a night work. It's a body of work.
That's correct.
Bacot has been outstanding. The double-double machine. He's been out of sight. I do think it's an Alondis Williams-Bacot discussion. And that was the first time I've seen Banchero in person. There's upside there.
Yeah.
But I got to be honest with you. I don't put him in the same category as Alondis Williams and Bacot.
Yeah.
Call me crazy. But I think it's a two-man race. And again, I know how this turns out, so I'm not going to tip my hand one way or the other here. But I do understand folks who are going to say, hey, Bacot should be the guy. Mm-hmm. I get it when people say Alondis Williams should be the guy. And again, I think Banchero is going to have a huge future.
I will tell you this, and I've been asked to participate in one form or another since 1997 at this. So that's right at 25 years or so voting on this. This is the hardest Player of the Year vote I've had.
I think Coach of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year are tough too.
In terms of all three, I would tell you it's
really,
the hardest year.
really competitive. Yeah. I mean, when we make this announcement at 9 o'clock, I think you'll see some pushback of people going, "Are they nuts?" I mean, you're going to get a solid debate.
Yeah.
When this announcement's made at 9 a.m. this morning,
you have to kind of Matt, I appreciate the call. I want to show you some more social reaction too here before we get to the bottom of the hour. You have to understand, you have to decide as a voter. You have to decide where your differentials are going to be made in your mind. Well, my differentials, if Pac voted, his differential in deciding might be different than mine. Okay?
It's like being in the committee for the selection committee. You got all kinds of metrics. It's up to you to depend on, hey, you're going to justify your case on using A, B, right, and C. You may use D, E, and F, whatever the case may be.
And some people, I can tell you, have voted in the past thinking, okay, well, here's the preseason expectation, and here's what happened in the regular season. So, and you get player of the year based on surprise of the year. Okay? That's why, in particular, these three awards, ACC Player of the Year, Defensive Player, and Coach, are as competitive in spirit as they are before we announce them at 9 o'clock. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think this particular year also, because we've had three teams, Miami, Wake Forest, and Notre Dame, who were picked in the back half for sure.
Well, Wake
of the preseason.
Wake and Miami had double digits. Miami and Notre Dame was like 8 or 9.
So, right.
I mean, so those three guys, yeah, without question, are in the debate.
And see, that creates more of the kind of surprise element. The other thing is this too. Who plays with who? In Banchero's case, I'll add this. Trevor Keels having a big ball game. Jeremy Roach having a big ball game. A.J. Griffin going for 27 the first time against Carolina. All that counters into it.
I didn't think, this is just my opinion, I didn't think Banchero was the player of the year going into the weekend.
I didn't either. I thought it was a Baycott-Williams race.
I thought it was a two-man race.
Let me go down here and show you a couple more of the social media. Adam says, if they give the player of the year to Baycott, I can't wait to troll these Wake Forest fans. Great. Okay, well, be looking ahead for that. At heels, heel is yes.
Wait. Who trolls the Swiss? Nobody trolls the
Adam
Swiss.
Adam does,
dude.
Apparently.
Adam, you'll have to wait till 9 o'clock. Maybe get that opportunity.
ACC Coach of the Year is Hubert Davis, only coach to finish in the top four after losing two key players and one being a starter. He's talking about Dawson Garcia and Anthony Harris. At Coach R. Keaton, Roger Keaton. He says, Alondis Williams, Steve Forbes, Reese Beekman, but I predict Mark Williams will win. Okay?
People are all over the place.
And then ACC Network's Eric McClain, by the way, belated happy birthday, EMAC.
There you go.
If Alondis Williams isn't player of the year, throw the award away.
We can't do that.
No, we're going to give it to the winner.
And if
Eric,
you throw it away, we'll find a place for it down here in the basement.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll show you the bracket for play that starts tomorrow in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center. The Atlantic Coast Conference Men's Basketball Tournament, presented by New York Life, by the way, Pac. That won't be the last time you hear that this
Nothing
week.
Nothing gets done until something gets sold.
Thank you very much. The bracket is set. We will show you the top and bottom. Actually, what it's called is afternoon and night when we come back after this.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, gang, don't forget, Tuesday at 2 o'clock, the 69th annual New York Life ACC Basketball Tournament from Barclays Center in Brooklyn begins right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. Anish Shroff and Jordan Cornette will take you through the afternoon session that features Pittsburgh and Boston College, Clemson and NC State, right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Is that the Anish Shroff guy that's now the voice of the Carolina Panthers?
That is one and the same, and our congratulations to him.
Yep. Good people.
Yep.
Be calling the Super Bowl one of these days, Anish Shroff.
No way.
Hey, don't come over there with that Falcons nonsense. Anish Shroff be calling the Super Bowl.
I want to win the NFC South first, Coach.
You can do that all you want, but Anish Shroff's going to be calling the Super Bowl one day.
Might
want
to win the NFC South first, Coach.
All right. Yeah, get your pom-poms out.
I got them out. All right, you ready for the tournament week?
I'm ready to get to Brooklyn.
Well, we'll be there Friday morning, 7 a.m.
We're going to get there Thursday night, late.
Hey, you're getting there late. Might be Friday morning by the time you get there, by the way. Knowing you and American Airlines. Here's the full bracket for you, big fella.
I'm ready.
All right. We told you about Pitt and BC getting us started at 2 o'clock. Clemson, NC State at 4:30. And then Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander slide in for Louisville and Georgia Tech on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And then DOB and Corey come back on Wednesday morning for Florida State, Syracuse. Wake Forest meets the winner of Clemson, NC State. Those games will be on ESPN. Then the evening session Wednesday night. Billis and Shulman, I think, handle those. And that'll be Virginia Tech against the winner of Louisville, Georgia Tech. And Virginia will meet – no, it's Pitt against – Pitt Boston College meets Wake Forest, right?
That is correct.
Okay. That's a little congruent on the screen there. And then you've got
Clemson, NC State.
Clemson, NC State meets Virginia Tech.
Georgia Tech winner gets
Virginia. That's Virginia. Thank you. And then the winners across the board start on Thursdays. The quarters start at noon on Thursday at Barclays Center. And then our show will originate from Barclays Center Friday morning at 7 o'clock, assuming they let us in.
They're going to let us in. I know people in Brooklyn. I tell you what, Wes, nobody had a better weekend than me. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Nobody had a better weekend than me.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
How's that work?
I'll explain it as the day goes on here
right.
On the show.
By the way, Top Seeds won the title 8 times since 2000. Since 1974, though, the Top Seeds only won it 17 times. 32 times total in ACC tournament history. It works to about 48%.
All right, let me give you this right from the get-go. You like Duke this week or not? Yes or no?
I do like Duke this week.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too.
I don't think they're a prohibitive favorite, but they're a favorite.
No. I was asked yesterday by the coveted invite.
Oh, you were on the ESPN morning show.
Brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast Sandwiches.
How about that?
Yeah. She said, don't you think that losing might be the best thing? I said, no. Duke doesn't ever want to lose to Carolina, ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think they will be motivated. Don't you? I think that. I mean, those teams normally respond to what happened Saturday.
Duke is 50-10 in this event in the last 23 years.
And Kay always puts an
50
emphasis.
50-10.
Kay always puts an emphasis on the tournament. There are some that don't. Some are like, yeah, if we win, great. When they show up, they're normally there to win it. I think there'll be a tough out this week. Could be wrong. That's what I think.
Well, and Duke's also, in the 2 years the tournament was in Brooklyn, 17-18, Duke is the most successful team in the event. They went 5-1. Remember, Duke also in 2017 became the first 5 seed to ever win the ACC tournament. Why is that historical? Because when they were the 5 seed, they had to win 4 games. And Duke won the 4 games in 2017. So when I look at the Blue Devils, I would throw Virginia as quietly just one of those interesting teams in the – because North Carolina – we'll get to this later in the week. How does Carolina recycle from Saturday to play Virginia on Thursday? I know the days are out there. Can Carolina put it in the red again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they – why wouldn't they?
I mean, just asking.
The one thing Hubert talked about was, hey, we got to fight. When they – how many times have we talked about North Carolina this year in a big game, get punched and don't punch back?
Right.
They did the exact opposite Saturday night.
You're right.
They threw the first haymaker right out of the gate and said, listen, tonight it's going to be different. We're up 9-4. Hey, I know all you folks are yelling at us, talking about everything else. We're here to play. Yes, North Carolina can do that.
Right.
In my opinion.
Well, we're getting ready to find out because Thursday, I think, is really one of the more interesting Carolina games of the year as to how far they've matured as a team under Hubert Davis.
Wouldn't you not get out of bed if you're North Carolina?
Oh, I think Carolina's
today,
got plenty of reason.
Life is good, man.
Carolina's
birds
got...
are chirping. It's, you know, feels like spring. Let's go.
I think they got plenty of reasons to be successful. It was interesting visiting with some of their staff after the game the other night. I think they felt like Saturday was the kind of a potential big turning point in their opening year. Not just the win and the moment, but the landscape and the preparation and the way they got their process going.
I would think the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd think otherwise.
All right. Let's move on to the weekend, shall we? Because there are a couple storylines developing that we're going to talk about as the tournament starts on Tuesday and on into Wednesday. We mentioned Virginia a moment ago. 71-61, they win at Louisville. At the Yum Center, Reese Beekman, 15 and a career-high 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals. This guy's had a great year.
Sure has.
I mean, a great year. Is it first-team All-ACC worthy? Find out at 9 o'clock this morning. But this about Virginia. Cavaliers do a nice job. Caden Shedrick, 16 of his 20. He hit 7 of 7 from the floor. This a nice win for Tony Bennett going to the house pack.
Well, I mean – okay, if you want to call it that, I look at the other side. Louisville's lost 11 of 12 coming down the stretch. If Virginia would have lost this game, I would have been stunned.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. They jumped them early.
Right.
Louisville made a somewhat of a run early in the second half coming out of the gate. To me, the storyline in this game is not Virginia, it's Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
11 of 12 they've lost down the stretch, Wes. The only win was they beat Clemson at home. This kind of feels like, hey, let's just get this thing home. Let's just go park this deal.
Right.
That's what it feels like to me at Louisville.
Well, look, if things don't go right for the Cards tomorrow, then Josh Hurd, who's the interim athletics director, and as I'm understanding, a viable and favorable pick to potentially be the AD, if they hire a president and all this other stuff that has to go on at the University of Louisville, his process of finding the next basketball coach of the Cardinals begins in earnest if it hasn't already.
It's time to move on.
Yeah.
I mean, this season has gotten away from him.
Correct. But so we'll get to that, but I think that's one of the things about Louisville. Georgia Tech 82, Boston College 78 in overtime. The Jackets win. Jordan Usher gets a career-high 30 on 12 of 16 from the floor on senior day. I don't know how else better you can write the script. Usher, they got off to a pretty good start in the first half, and then they finished in overtime with Usher and Michael DeVoe. But Usher in particular, Georgia Tech, 9 threes. They shot 57%, but they were just 13 to 22 at the foul line. That's not helping the index card, Josh Pastner. But nonetheless, the Jackets get the win. They are the 14 seed. In Brooklyn. Jaden Zachary, 19 for Boston College. They wrapped the regular season 11-19. They won 6 league games, which quite frankly might be about 6 more than we thought they were going to win when the season started.
Disappointing year for Georgia Tech. They are the defenders of the ACC tournament. For BC, I think they've shown some signs of improvement as the year goes on. Have they reached the finish line? They have not. But the season is soon to be over for both.
Miami 75, Syracuse 72.
Hey,
what are we going to say here?
Cuse, what is it with you guys? Huh? What is it with you guys against Miami? We're going to get giant leads and then watch it melt away. The big news here is that guy with the ball.
Yeah.
Buddy Boeheim needed 30, and he got 30 to win the ACC scoring title. That, to me, is the story for Syracuse. But what a disappointing year for Cuse. And even when he went on a good run, I kept saying, man, watch out. These last 3 or 4 games are going to be nasty tough. And this was a game they should have won, quite frankly. You got
Absolutely.
A big lead, and Miami scores the last 10 and just steals one from Syracuse late. This is I had huge expectations for Syracuse, but this has been a really, really disappointing season.
Right. Jordan Miller, you see the double-double, 25 and 13 for Miami. Syracuse will play Florida State the 8-9 game on Wednesday.
And, you know, even though it's an 8-9 game, Florida State's getting healthy. We'll talk about the Noles.
Yep.
Polite was back. You know, you got some guys. I mean, listen, Leonard's had it. Middle of January, we thought they were the best team in the league.
Yeah.
To put things in perspective. And then the injury bug destroyed them. They're starting to get some dudes back.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're going to be in Brooklyn, in the state of New York. Syracuse is in I get all that. But I think Florida State right now is playing so much better than Syracuse, it's not even funny.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with you on this. I think that the storylines for Syracuse are the way this has kind of ended. And I'm not sure where – the Orange, we're going to try and talk to Brent Axe later in the week. Jim Boeheim telling Brent Axe there's a succession plan in place and he knows what it is, that made news, right? I mean –
Well, he says there's a plan, but he plans on being back next season.
Right, I understood that. But then all of a sudden you get all this other stuff happening around them, and Buddy and Jimmy are leaving, and Joe Girard, I guess, comes back for another year, and there's recruiting and everything else involved. Just seems like there's a little bit of instability there, doesn't it?
Well, you got to win, right? And it's a winning business. Syracuse has lost 16 games this year. That's the most they've had since, what, 68-69 season.
Yeah.
It's been a while for Syracuse to have as many L's, but you knew the tail end of this schedule was going to be difficult, and like I said, that game Saturday – you got to close the deal. At home, up double digits. Yeah. You're playing a good Miami team. You've done this before.
Yep.
The only positive out of that was the fact that Buddy got the 30 that he needed to win the scoring championship.
You know who finished in a flurry? Clemson Tigers.
Sure did.
63-59. Brownell's team wins four straight, going to the Brooklyn. P.J. Hall returns and offers a dozen. David Collins, Nas Bohannon, big on senior day. And Tigers knock off the Hokies by four. Alex Hemingway, by the way, poured in three threes
for Clemson. A since Dirt moment for Clemson basketball. It is the first time since Dirt that they've won four consecutive games heading into the ACC tournament.
Oh.
It's never happened before. A since Dirt moment.
You mean to tell me the Van Gregg Tigers?
Trust me on this. I know. First time ever the Tigers go WWWW heading into the ACC tournament.
All right.
And this is the 69th Atlantic Coast Conference tournament. Let that marinate a second.
Tigers have made the finals of the tournament twice.
Yeah, Billy Packer and those guys screwed him out of the
tournament. Tyler Hansbrough in 08 in Charlotte.
That was a good game.
Yeah. Florida State a winner, 89-76 over NC State. Caleb Mills comes back after missing five games. He gives them 19 points on 7 of 8 shooting. Anthony Polita, double-double, 13 points, 10 rebounds. NC State has lost 10 of its last 11 going to the tournament. They are the 15 seed.
Ever since you got news about Manny Bates, it just seems like it's gone downhill for NC State this year. Right, Louisville right. and NC State are the two teams that I think before the season, all of us would have thought, that's a pretty good – they got a chance to be pretty good.
Right.
And it's just been a miserable year for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way to spin it.
Yep. Last game to cup and capsule for you here, Notre Dame 78, Pittsburgh 54, Nate Leshefsky 17-9, Cormac Ryan 15 on five threes, Notre Dame – program best for ACC wins in a season. It's their fourth top four finish in nine ACC seasons. That's a pretty interesting stat, especially for a team who, as Pack and I were talking about earlier in the hour, probably picked middle of the road. They made six of seven threes in nine of their last 12 after halftime.
When they make threes, like a lot of teams, they can be really good. Notre Dame is sneaky good now,
yeah.
Right? And this is a really important time for them in this ACC tournament. They can't – I think they're in after the win against Pitt. I mean,
absolutely.
They just – because right. that's the question last week was, if everybody lost out, are you confident that they're in? For me, it was no. Thank God they didn't lose to Pitt. They took care of business.
I think the five that are going are in.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
The question is, do we get a surprise?
Oh, boy.
Can we get somebody outside that comfort zone that steals one?
All right. When we come back, you heard us refer to this the other night during the course of our Coach K curtain call. The infamous ACC index card has reached its regular season conclusion.
Yep.
That and accounting get us to the 8 o'clock bell after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. It is a Monday for everybody.
Yeah, it is.
Lucky numbers, 5, 7, and 9. You like odd numbers? Today's your kind of day.
Yeah.
I hold in my hand, Mr. Durham.
Get a shot of this, Chrissy.
This is all the work.
Some man's tax returns is what this looks like.
This right here is the infamous ACC.
Why is it on sheets of paper?
Index card. Well, I used to, because the league used to have only seven teams in it. I could do it on an index card. Now we've got 15. So we've gone full paper.
People think we do this on a spreadsheet.
No. I do it by hand.
Handwritten operation.
Yeah, I do it by, that's why it helps your math skills.
Do you want me to do the math for you on that?
No, I got it.
I can do some math.
I am not
letting Come on, let me do the math.
There's certain things about this show that I have total faith that I can handle. Flying blimps, meeting people, and math.
All right. I'm pretty sure I can do accounting. Think.
We'll find out.
Well, every once in a while, it's the same team twice. Here's my 1 through 15. Carolina up 1. Notre Dame? No, I don't think that's the way I spelled it. down 1.
Is that the Great Dane?
It is. Like the University of Albany, the Great Danes. Miami, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Virginia. Everybody kind of holds all the way until you get to Georgia Tech up 2. Ahead of Pitt and NC State. So, there you go.
That just, that double-digit crowd, you could put them about any order after Clemson.
Yeah, I moved Georgia Tech up 2, Pitt and NC State down 1. Yeah, I kind of went by the seeds, in all honesty, with the exception of a couple things here. So,
okay, here we go. Sweet 16 coming your way. Duke stays where they are. Carolina stays where they are. Notre Dame, Miami, Swiss. Virginia goes up. Hokies go down.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Virginia won. The Hokies didn't. Florida State, I still like you better than Syracuse. I got Clemson over Syracuse just because the Tigers finished strong and Syracuse didn't.
I still like you better than Syracuse.
It's kind of the deal. 11 through 15, I swear to you, it really doesn't matter. It simply does not matter. Put them in whatever order you want and pick them out of a hat.
Couldn't
and
agree with you more.
That's what it is. That's what you're going to get on Tuesday. 16, the Sweet 16, the obstructed view seats. You are 16th. There it is. Some guy asked me a question about it. I said, yeah, that was my seat. I could see a steel beam, rivets, and dust particles. That's what it's all about. But you know what? There was no other place I'd rather be than sitting right there Saturday night.
It's pretty good. Pretty good, to be honest with you.
Obstructed view seats.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is really where the rubber meets the road.
The final.
Yep, this is the last installment.
There are no more additions.
Tournament does not count. Postseason play. Nope. Is not infamous index card worthy.
Never has been from day one when we did this 25 years ago.
All right.
The infamous ACC index card, the final numbers, foul margin. Notre Dame, man, you never hear the whistle blown against you. You are the best.
Look at that number.
Negative 62. North Carolina is 2. By the way, the 4 double bye teams in this order right here finished 1, 2, 5, 6. 1, 2, 5, 6
Wow.
For the double bye teams in foul margin.
Okay.
Georgia Tech, you are by your lonesome on the other end of the spectrum.
Is that the most significant margin?
That's a big number.
I mean,
I got to look up that one. That's a big between last and next to last. That's a big number.
Infamous ACC index card history. 48 is that number, by the way.
That's
which is
a
crazy.
Large number. Yep. Jacket fans are sitting there going, I've been telling you all year they've been blowing the whistle. Hey, we don't do conspiracies. You do.
That's it.
Here we go. This is the one that gets you every time, though. Free throw attempt margin.
They stayed at 103.
Dropped a little there. They had, you know, they had BC. That's how it works. At the very top, the teams that made the double bye finished 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4 for the double byes. Duke, Carolina, Notre Dame, Miami. You're the best there is.
You sure there's no conspiracy at the top?
There are no. I don't do conspiracies.
That's 1, 2. That's 1, 3, 2, 4 if you're counting the seeds.
That's right.
Yeah.
At the very bottom, Georgia Tech, you did reach triple digits. A negative 103.
That's the Jackets, first we've seen it in our history.
No. We've had negatives before.
We have?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's not the worst of all time.
It's not. Well, no, but in like our tenure together?
I got to look that up too. Okay. I'm not sure off the top of my head.
I don't recall a triple digit.
Pretty solid. Jackets 15th in both departments.
Wow.
Dead last.
What does that mean? What do you say there, huh?
Well, hey, you know.
What do you say?
We did accounting. You had them 13th. I had them 14th. It's been a tough year for the defenders.
That has. When we come back, we go to the 8 o'clock hour. We are an hour away, roughly, from the Atlantic Coast Conference. Oh, no, this is not at best of the weekend.
You better believe it.
You should have seen the terror on Liz Kitley's face when she saw you with that controller.
No problem.
When we come back, best of the weekend, including the ACC Wrestling Championships in Charlottesville. All that, and Kunane cuts down another net next.
Packer and Durham.